This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust that the program will bless and encourage you and perhaps instruct you. Now, if you would like to contact me, again, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write my mailing address and my website address down at the close of the program. My website does contain this radio program, and you can re-listen to it there. It also has a weekly meditation that you might find helpful. Now, today I want to read with you from Genesis chapter 11, because we're looking at the faith of Abraham. In Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter in the New Testament that talks about the heroes of faith, it says in verse 17, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." And so that passage is dealing with the passage in the Old Testament that we would like to spend a little time on this morning. That's Genesis 22. Now, we've noted that Abraham is the father of faith, and in the New Testament, Romans chapter 4 says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, quoting from the Old Testament. And even though Abraham had believed God, and even though Abraham was a worshiper of the living God, he, in a practical way, had difficulty at times believing that God would fulfill his promises. And we've looked at some of those problems last time. We didn't really talk about the fact that he lied twice about Sarah being his wife to save his own skin, even though Sarah was the one who was to produce this promised seed. We did look at the idea that he had helped God along with his promise to produce a child of promise by marrying Hagar, Sarah's handmaiden, and producing Ishmael. And through Ishmael, the children of the flesh, which are for the most part the Arabs today, they have been in conflict with the descendants of Isaac, which would be the Jewish nation, the children of faith. They've been in conflict even to this day. So when we take things into our own hands and try to help God with his program and his promises, we usually end up creating a mess that that affects not only us, but affects others around us. But in Genesis 22, Abraham, who had believed God, and it was counted him for righteousness, is now having his faith tested. And if that you don't remember anything else about this program, remember that if you claim to be a child of faith, if you claim to be saved, if you claim to be born again, if you claim to have believed God so that it can be accounted to you for righteousness, then Satan is going to make sure that your faith is tested, and sometimes God is going to make sure that your faith is tested, and you want to make sure that when the chips are down, you believe God rather than what you think is right. And you believe God rather than what others say is right, because that will be the path to true blessing. So the test came to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, when God said, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now your son, thine only son, or your unique son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Now that had to be a problem to Abraham. First of all, God had never demanded human sacrifice. And second of all, in demanding that Abraham offer his son Isaac, he was offering one that he loved, and we all try to protect ones that we our own descendants that we love. If we have the paternal and maternal instincts in us as we ought, the last thing we would want to do would be to offer our own offspring as an offering to God. But We find out from the New Testament that Abraham believed that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. And so now, after having failed tests in the past, tests of faith, he passes this test. He goes to the land of Moriah, and he does what God asked him to do. Now, when he goes there, in verse 7, Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And that's the question. And it's a question that has been ringing down through the years. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now Abraham didn't know at that point that Isaac was going to be spared because God was going to provide a lamb for a burnt offering. There was going to be a ram caught in a thicket that would take Isaac's place. There was going to be substitution. But he had confidence that God would provide himself a lamb, and the lamb that has been provided for us is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the one who died 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, died for our sins, the one who suffered for us there. That's the Lamb of God. And who would have expected the Son of God to be the Lamb? But he was. Who would have expected that God would ask Abraham to provide, to use his own son as the lamb? And here Abraham shows his faith by saying, My son, God will provide himself a lamb. And Isaac must have been wondering a little bit about what was going to take place here. Now, it turns out that I haven't read it in this passage, but Abraham had told the company that had come with him to wait, and they would go yonder and worship and come again. So Abraham, at that point, when he says they were going to come again, was recognizing that he was going to bring Isaac back. But at this point, he thought it was going to be because of a resurrection, not because of a substitution. And in verse 9 we read, And they came to the place which God told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Now, as we look at this passage, we could see that Isaac that Abraham was willing to offer Isaac, and God the Father was willing to offer his son. That has nothing to do with the love of God for his son, because God did love his son. Abraham did love Isaac, and yet, in spite of the paternal, familial, the kind of love that we understand, Abraham loved God and trusted God and was willing to offer his son. And so, in the case of the Lord Jesus, who is the fulfillment of this picture in the New Testament, there was no substitute found. The Lord had to die, the just one, for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And for the Lord, there was no substitute. He had to finish the work that God had given him to do. But for Isaac, there was a substitute. And that substitute, again, pictures to us the work of Christ on the cross. When we see Abraham being willing to offer his son, we see his test of faith, and he passed it. We see his love for God and his willingness to depend upon what God has said and his obedience to God. We see true worship in Abraham and his willingness to offer his son. We see obedience in Isaac and being bound and put on that altar, because I don't know at what age this took place, but even a relatively young child would be able to resist, to some degree at least, what Abraham was doing to him. And when Abraham started being bound, or started binding Isaac, it doesn't indicate in any way that Isaac resisted that. And so when we look at the fulfillment of that picture, we realize that the Lord Jesus was the voluntary burnt offering, and he willingly came to die for us that he might have a bride. And so his willingness to be obedient to the plan of God from an eternity past was very evident at the cross when he stood before Pilate. He didn't argue with him. He didn't try to rebuke him. When he was asked if he was the king of the Jews, he says, "It is as you say." But he, in the Old Testament, it says he was silent as a lamb before, as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He took the guilty sinner's place, and the guilty sinner has nothing to say. He has nothing to offer in his defense, and the Lord, like Isaac, willingly laid on that altar. But the Lord had no substitute. Isaac did. Isaac was a person like us, and the Lord has found a substitute for the punishment that we deserved. And these substitutes are pictured by the lambs of the Old Testament, but they're fulfilled in Christ at the cross. He's the substitute for us. And just as we understand substitution when it comes to athletic events, when we substitute a player for another, we should be able to understand substitution when it comes to the matter of our sin and in what we deserve because of our sin. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was the sin bearer. He was the one who took our place. He was the substitute. But being our substitute does not universally save the whole world. Being our substitute makes him available, makes his death, his blood, his suffering available to the whole world, but we still have to believe God so it can be accounted to us for righteousness. There has to be a day in our lives when we recognize that as sinners we can't save ourselves, but Christ is the sinner's substitute, and he died to save us. And friend, I hope that you, like Abraham, have believed God so it could be counted to you for righteousness, so you can be saved and sure of it, so you're prepared for the day when you cross over by death or by the Lord's coming to the other side. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon those who have listened today and upon thy word. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. We give thanks in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.